sermon. It is a pleasure to be here, and I want to thank the planning committee for the invitation to be here. I also would like to thank that committee for their efforts. Having had the opportunity to spend 7 years on that committee, I know what it takes to put one of these on, and so I want to thank them for those efforts and congratulate them on the product, that being another excellent symposium. We're going to work through this rather quickly. I think most of the questions will be better asked tonight at the bullpen session, and I do have a fair amount to cover, but I know everybody's derriere, probably like mine, has reached maximum daily limit, and I'm sure your stomachs are growling because you're hungry because of lack of food, so we'll try to get you out of here on time and get to the meal. Before I get started, I do need to recognize my co-author, Mr. Ryan Walker. Ryan is a graduate student working with me on his PhD. Unfortunately, Ryan had to leave yesterday due to a death in his family, but Ryan conducted this research that I'm going to report to you later in the presentation, and Ryan certainly deserves credit for his efforts as well. If you do a search of the literature on ester synchronization, you'll find that we've been doing ester synchronization research for decades. And yet today, probably only 3 to 5% of the beef cows in the industry are AI'd on an annual basis. So the question is, why do we not use ester synchronization, artificial insemination, more widely in the beef industry? When you compare that to the dairy industry, which artificially inseminates probably 95%+ of their cows on an annual basis, it puts things in a little bit of perspective. Obviously, the management of a dairy operation allows for more ready use of ester synchronization protocols as well as artificial insemination. But the genetic improvement that's been made in the dairy industry certainly cannot be argued. And that potential certainly exists in the beef industry as well. When you ask producers, and Dr. Daryl Kessler at the University of Illinois reported a survey that they did recently, the two top reasons why beef producers do not utilize artificial insemination and ester synchronization protocols, number one reason is time and labor restraints. The number two reason is poor results. And so I think as we look at those and look at research that has been done in more recent years, we certainly can understand both of those issues. And those are the issues that I think as we go forward with ester synchronization, we need and will be addressing to try to minimize the amount of time that's necessary for the time and labor inputs that are needed, and also to be able to improve the results that we do see with these products. What I'm going to do is go through a few slides here. Many of you have seen these, but I want to make sure that we're up to date on and current on what the available protocols and products are for ester synchronization. And then the latter part of the presentation I'll spend talking about the new product, the Cedar, which you have already seen some information and data from some studies by previous speakers. The first protocol that everybody is probably familiar with is the prostaglandins. The use of prostaglandins to synchronize has been around for several years and is used fairly widely in the industry. One of the things that is extremely important to understand about the prostaglandin products and the protocols is that the prostaglandins require a functional corpus luteum on the ovary. In other words, the cow or the heifer needs to be cycling for these products to work. And in some instances where we had people report or complaints about poor results, I think these products were improperly used in cattle that were not cycling. So it's important to understand that and keep that in mind as you look at these products. The prostaglandin products, again, do require that an animal be cycling for them to be effective. Then came along melongestrel acetate, or MGA. and MGA has caught on and been widely used in heifer synchronization. It is an oral progestin, so it does need to be ingested. And the typical protocols, at least initially, required a feeding time of about 14 days with the MGA product. Remove the product, and then you do have a percentage of heifers that will, or cows that would, come into heat following removal of the MGA. The problem is that is typically a subfertile heat, and so we typically do not recommend that you breed either naturally or through AI on that heat, but rather to wait a period of time and then move into the next cycle or the next heat to do your synchronization. The MGA prostaglandin protocol simply combines the MGA feeding for 14 days and then waiting 17 days to inject the prostaglandin. The heat then after that prostaglandin injection is a fertile heat, and your synchronized estrus you can breed at that point in time. So what we've been doing with those products and protocols up to about that point was really focusing on trying to synchronize the estrus. And with the MGA, this is just a little diagram that kind of illustrates the addition of the prostaglandin to an MGA feeding will tighten up that period of estrus in a group of females. And this was some work that was reported and discussed at the last range beef cow symposium by Dr. Patterson. Then we moved in and started incorporating some other products, GnRH, gonadotropin hormone-releasing hormone, in an effort to try to synchronize the ovulation of these animals. And the reason for doing that is to, again, we go back to one of the problems or issues why people don't use this is the time and labor restraint. So we wanted to try to look at doing fixed time insemination so that we can reduce the amount of labor required, and potentially the goal would be then to not do any heat detection but just to go in and mass mate a group of animals at a given time. So we have a series of protocols then that were developed to try to do this, incorporating the GnRH products, and as shown here is the OffSync protocol. And again, you've seen a lot of these and some of the results of the research with these products and protocols talked about at previous range beef cow symposiums. The CoSync program, and I'll come back to this one a little bit later in relation to the cedars. And then the SelectSync program, again, requiring the incorporation and combination of GnRH and prostaglandins. Then there's been some modifications on some of these protocols. The MGA Select protocol, again, incorporates the GnRH injection into that protocol. The 7-11 sync protocol, again, we're using MGA, a prostaglandin, and the GnRH, but we're timing those injections in relation to the MGA at a little bit different time. One of the things I want to make sure that we understand about MGA, and one of the problems that we have, or one of the problems it presents, is because it is an ingested progestin, it needs to be ingested at a level of 0.5 milligrams per head per day during that 14-day period. And it's very difficult to get that required ingestion by all animals in the group that we're trying to synchronize. So one of the limitations with the MGA is, in fact, trying to get that into the animals at the desired level. And then this is just a chart. This is in the proceedings, again, that Dr. Patterson presented at the last range beef cow symposium, that looks at some of the estrus response and synchronized pregnancy rates that have been reported in work that he has done and others with these different synchronization protocols. And what you can see from this chart is that there seems to be a fair amount of variation in the estrus response in some protocols that he reported, some very high estrus response percentages, as well as some that maybe others would consider not quite as good. And then we move to the synchronized pregnancy rate. Again, a lot of variation in terms of the pregnancy rate, ranging from about 37% up into the low 70s. So quite a bit of variation, both in response and in pregnancy rates from these different protocols. And that's typically what we've seen. You can look through the literature and see variations in response with these different protocols. And so, that, again, that's one of the problems that we have encountered with the ESTR synchronization and trying to make it a more user-friendly type tool for you to use in breeding your beef animals. Okay, so now we have our toolbox. And again, I'd just like to remind you that these products are tools. We have the MGA, we have the luteolysis or the prostaglandins. We have the GnRH, and now with the newest product that has come online, we have the CEDAR. CEDAR stands for Controlled Internal Drug Release. So we have the CEDAR device. The CEDAR implant or device itself has a nylon backbone to it covered with silicone that is impregnated with progesterone. So it has the same effect as MGA would have. It is a progesterone product, would have the same effect once it's inserted into the vagina of the cow to suppress estrus. The real advantage with this is we have now a tool that we can control and make sure that we're getting the desired amount of progesterone into every animal at the level that we need it to have. And so we're getting better control of that ester cycle with the CEDAR than we did with or would with MGA typically. Also, if you look at the two wings on the CEDAR implant, they're very flexible. You load it in the gun, those wings are pulled down against the body or the shaft of the insert. It's inserted into the vagina. The squeeze of the handle on the applicator and the CEDAR is deposited within the vagina, and those ears fold back out and keep the insert in place then for the 7-day period. The retention rate on these has been reported about at least 95%. Most would say 98%+, and that would be typical of what we saw in the studies that we did this past year with the CEDAR. Retention rate does not seem to be a problem. When you're through with the CEDAR and ready to pull it, you see the little blue string that's attached. You simply pull on that. Again, those flexible ears fold up, and you can pull the CEDAR from the cow very easily. The initial and recommended protocol with the CEDARs is a CEDAR prostaglandin protocol, the CEDAR inserted on day zero, if you would, and left there for 7 days with the injection of luteolysis or prostaglandin given the day prior to the removal of the CEDAR. And as you've already seen, that particular protocol is being modified somewhat by people utilizing the CEDAR plus prostaglandin, with the prostaglandin injection being given on day 7 when the CEDAR is removed. So we're going to see some of that variation, but I wanted you to know this is the recommended protocol for use of the CEDAR here in the United States. Okay, now what I'd like to do is just to share with you some data for some projects that we undertook this past year with the CEDARs, both in heifers and in cows, and we'll go through those. The first would be the heifer study. 375 head of heifers were utilized in this from three different herds. We used some of the heifers at the San Juan Basin Research Center in Hesperus, Colorado, the Beef Improvement Center at Saratoga, Wyoming. And then we had a cooperator herd, Quinn Cattle Company, in South Dakota, also participated in this study with the heifers. Our protocol would be what we call the modified co-sync plus cedar protocol. If you remember, the co-sync protocol itself includes GnRH, two GnRH injections in the prostaglandin. One of the things that is very evident, or has become evident, with the cedars being released here in the United States for use, is that we need to do and will be doing additional trials to look at how we can incorporate the cedar into some synchronization protocols that already exist to try to, again, do a better job of synchronizing not only estrus but the ovulation, so that we hopefully can utilize timed insemination to reduce labor inputs. And so, our protocol was the modified co-sync with the cedar. The insert and the GnRH was put in on the day zero. The cedar was removed and prostaglandin given on day 7. And then we time bred these heifers at 54 hours following the removal of the cedar. We had two treatments at this point, and this is where the modification of the co-sync came in. Treatment one, half the heifers were given no GnRH at the time they were AI'd. And the other half, treatment two, was administered a GnRH injection at that time, so on day 9. And this is the results of that study, the three herds listed here, and the numbers that were at each of the locations. If we look at the herd in South Dakota, we did have a response, and I apologize, this is not indicated, but the difference between treatment one and treatment two. Treatment 1 received no GnRH at AI. Treatment 2 did receive GnRH, and we saw about a 14% difference in pregnancy rates in that particular set of heifers. Their overall pregnancy rate was 47.4%. At the San Juan Basin Research Center, a somewhat limited number of heifers, we essentially didn't see any difference between the two treatments. And likewise, with the heifers at the Beef Improvement Center in Saratoga, Wyoming, no difference between the two treatments. So we did see a treatment difference in one location, but not the other two. The pregnancy rates, if you look at these, would be similar. Again, this is just a one-shot AI, first-time conception, would be certainly within the range of other reported studies with heifers using the cedar inserts. The other project that we did involved cows, mature cows. This included about 583 head of cows. These were located in two herds, the herd there at the San Juan Basin Research Center and the other at the Beef Improvement Center, again in Saratoga. Our protocol on the cows is shown here. The cedar insert again, and the first injection of GnRH given on day 0. We removed the cedar and gave the prostaglandin injection on day 7, and then we imposed two treatments at that point in time. Treatment 1, half the cows had their calves removed for a 54-hour time period. Treatment 2, the calves stayed on the cows. And then we did do heat detection through the first 36 hours of following the removal of the cedar. And we did this because we wanted to be able to see if we had cattle that came into heat during that time period prior to the 54-hour timed insemination, what type of fertility did they have in relation to what was bred at 54 hours. And so that was the protocol that we utilized. What I've done is broken down the results in a couple ways here. The first, this slide indicates those cows that we did detect in heat during that 36-hour period following cedar removal, the treatment 1 and treatment 2, again, calf removal versus no calf removal. At the San Juan Basin Research Center, and again, we're not looking at great numbers here, and so these are not statistically different. There are some numerical differences here that I thought are kind of interesting. In those cows that came into heat during that first 36 hours, we did see a numerical difference between the two treatment groups. Those cows that had their calves removed had a slightly higher conception rate or percent pregnant. The same type of thing, although not to the same magnitude, occurred at the Beef Improvement Center on those same animals, again, that were detected in heat prior to the timed AI. Then if we look at those, the remainder of the cows that were bred at the 54-hour time period, and a little bit different thing occurred in terms of pregnancy rates. Treatment 2 had a lower conception rate than did treatment 1. And again, this occurred at both locations a little more dramatically at the San Juan Basin Research Center than occurred with the cattle at the Beef Improvement Center. When we pool that, because we had no differences, and pooled the data, essentially there was no differences between treatment. We didn't see a big impact or a statistical impact with the calf removal. And the conception rates, while lower than we'd expected and hoped for, again, would certainly not fall outside the range of what has been reported for other synchronization protocols and even some of the limited data that's been reported with the cedars. I was also asked to talk a little bit about costs and benefits, and I will tell you at this point that to be able to do a meaningful and useful cost analysis and cost-benefit analysis with the other synchronization protocols, I can say that in my personal opinion, we don't have enough data to be able to do that. And you can make your own comparisons at this point in time. What I've got up on the slide right now is cost of product for the various synchronization protocols. We are in need of, and you have before you, a survey that Dr. Sandy Johnson from Kansas State has developed that will help us to collect the data that we need to be able to do meaningful and useful cost and benefit analysis with these different ester synchronization protocols. One of the things, the biggest holes in our data is we don't have good labor numbers. How much time do people that use ester synchronization or work cattle, what kind of man hours are needed and used on the different operations? And so we're asking, and we would appreciate it if you would take the time to fill those out and turn those back in either this afternoon before we leave or bring them to the bullpen session tonight. But we think it's very important. You have right now probably a dozen protocols that are available to you for ester synchronization. And to be able to do that kind of a cost-benefit analysis, we need to have better numbers on terms of labor and time inputs so that we can make better comparisons. As I said, these are the costs that we would use, and these are some numbers that have been used in other symposiums and classes taught at CSU for product. You may be able to get some of these products cheaper. You may have to pay a little more than what we have up here on the board, but this will get you very close and into the ballpark as to what these systems right now would run a producer. And I've just put up probably some averages on conception rates and things, pregnancy rates that have occurred in cows utilizing these various synchronization protocols. And you can see, again, there is a fairly wide range in terms of cost per cow to use these various protocols. This last one then is the cost that we estimated utilizing the cedars, and the $8 per cedar is, I think that's pretty much an accurate figure for the cost of the cedar at this time. And the cedar plus prostaglandin protocol that is recommended, you can see about a $9.50 to $10 cost per cow on that. In the study, the studies that we did, because we added the GnRH and used the CoSync in addition to the cedar, that increased the cost in the cows. It was a little over $12 per cow. And then in the heifers, because we did give the additional GnRH injection at breeding, that increased the cost to about $14.50 per head. So from a cost of product standpoint, the cedar looks very expensive at this time. But there's some potential for some benefits from these cedars that may help to offset that. In addition, I expect the cost of these to come down as time goes on. That's typical of most new products come out, and over time, we do get a reduction in price. The biggest benefit that I see at this point with the cedars is that we do concentrate estrus into a shorter period of time within the group. In our studies, and others have reported the same thing happening, you have your highest concentration. As much as 80% of the cows that are going to come into heat will be in heat during a 24-hour period. And that would occur typically from 24 to 48 hours in that 24-hour period after the cedar's removed. And so I think that's one of the potentially big advantages that the cedar brings to estrus synchronization, is that we can narrow up the time in which these animals come into heat. Subsequently, that should help us to be able to do a better job of synchronizing ovulation and hopefully incorporate timed inseminations with higher results in terms of pregnancy rates. And so I'm excited about this, and I think that's an area that we need to focus more on, to look at the timed inseminations, to try to reduce that labor input. Even if you're going to heat check, it still reduces the amount of labor because you're getting those animals in heat more in that smaller, more concentrated time period. Again, we saw no heats. You see no heats during the treatment period. And some of you that used MGA, you know that it's not unusual to see animals come into heat while you're feeding the MGA. And that, again, that's the problem, that we don't have the ability to control the intake as well with MGA. But with the cedar, every animal is getting their desired amount over the desired treatment period, and so we don't have those early estruses during the treatment period. And it is it's an easy product to use. It's easy to insert, easy to take out. There doesn't seem to be any problems with losing the cedars, very limited. And if they're handled properly, infection rates and those types of things are extremely rare in the animals that they're used in. So I think there is some real benefits that they bring to the synchronization programs, and hopefully, again, over the next, at the next range beef cow symposium, I would assume that there will be some updates looking at the cedar used in conjunction with the GnRH protocols, and also some that are looking at the injection, using injections of estradiol throughout that protocol to try to improve and control and synchronize the time of ovulation so that we can look at timed inseminations. I do want to thank several people, Pharmacy and Upjohn, for their support with the cedars, and the Lulice, Intervet Incorporated for the GnRH. Select Sires helped us out with semen. We greatly appreciate that. Quinn Cattle Company, our cooperator herd, for allowing us to utilize the heifers as part of this study, the Beef Improvement Center in Saratoga, Wyoming, and the San Juan Basin Research Center staff. We really appreciate everybody's help and support of this particular project. I would just like to end and say that we are expanding our research efforts. I have two pictures here. One is our grizzly bear insemination team, and the other is our mountain lion insemination team. And we've got some work to do on protocols because those gentlemen are being abused in most instances. But just want to let you know we are doing something other than beef cattle and looking at incorporating AI into some other species. So thank you for your time, and I do look forward to seeing you tonight at the bullpen session.